In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Psalm 32 says, "Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer," which is coming, isn't it? "I acknowledged my sin to you, O Lord. I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." To confess is to, in Greek, homologeo, to say the same thing as. When we confess our sins, as we do at the beginning of every divine service, we say the same thing that God, in His law, says about each one of us. That we have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed. That we cannot save ourselves. That we have justly deserved His eternal wrath and punishment, His temporal punishment as well. The wages of sin is death. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, is what God's word says, and we say, yes, yes, this is true. It is true about me. To acknowledge your sin is to be honest with God. It's to be honest with yourself. It's to see yourself according to God's law as one who is lost, as one who is under God's wrath, as one who justly deserves His punishment. And that was the case with King David in today's Old Testament reading. David had lusted after the wife of another man. He had an affair with her. When she became pregnant, he arranged for her husband a soldier's death in battle. He pretended that he cared for the woman, and everyone wanted to think what a wonderful, gracious king he was when he took her to be his wife after the time of mourning for Uriah's death was ended. He knocked over all kinds of commandments with this one episode alone. He was a sinner, justly deserving God's wrath, God's eternal punishment. Nathan the prophet came to him and said, "You are the man," after telling him the story of the poor man who had his beloved sheep, his beloved lamb, ewe lamb, taken by a rich man. "You are the man, David. You are the man who has done this." And David confessed his sin. He acknowledged it before God. "I have sinned against the Lord." Nathan the prophet told him, "The Lord has put away your sin." And David believed that. To believe that God has forgiven your sins for Jesus' sake is to confess something as well. To confess that God is true to His word and does not lie to us when He says your sins are forgiven. In the gospel reading, we have the account of another sinner. Well, actually, there are two sinners in this account, but one acknowledges her sin, one confesses her sin, and the other, a Pharisee, thinks he's okay. Thinks he doesn't have any problems with God, or perhaps more accurately, that God doesn't have any problems with him. This Pharisee had thrown a dinner party, a Pharisee named Simon. It was after the Sabbath, probably, and he invited Jesus to come to his house and eat with him. The Pharisee apparently did not do so because he respected Jesus. He believed that Jesus was a man sent from God, that he believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Like the other Pharisees, many others of them, he wanted to investigate Jesus. He wanted to examine him. He wanted to listen to him in person to see if perhaps he could trap Jesus in his words. Anyway, the dinner is proceeding when, behold, pay attention. Look here, this is something to take notice of. Behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, probably a prostitute, when she learned that Jesus was at the Pharisee's house eating, she brought with her an alabaster flask of ointment, of rich perfume. And she stood behind him at his feet, because at this time, reclining at table, you laid on a couch, propped up with your elbow, and ate that way. Anyway, she stood behind him at his feet. She was weeping tears of sorrow. And she wet his feet with her tears, and then she dried his feet with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed those feet with ointment. Now that sounds strange to us, and it would have been unusual at that time as well. But whenever you had a guest, you were supposed to see that the guest's feet were washed. Anointing the head with precious oil was a sign that you welcomed that guest, you were glad to have that guest. And this is what the sinful woman was doing. Now, Simon the Pharisee, when he saw all this going on, was scandalized. He was scandalized by the woman's actions, but he was also scandalized by Jesus' response, or lack of response, to this woman and what she did. He expected Jesus to jump up and say, "Get away from me, you're a sinner. Get away from me. You have sold yourself to dozens, maybe hundreds of men. You are not worthy to touch me. Get out of here." But Jesus did not do that. He could have. He could have. For she was a sinner who deserved and had earned the wages of sin, death. But instead, Jesus accepted her. Simon the Pharisee said, "If this man were really a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him. For she is a sinner." Simon was confessing something about this woman, but it wasn't given to him to make this confession. The woman acknowledged she was a sinner. That was her business, not Simon's. And Simon focused upon her sin, her notoriety, her public transgressions, instead of looking into his own self-righteous heart. She was a sinner, not him. It was like the Pharisee and tax collector in the temple. "I thank you, God, I am not like other men. I give a tithe of all I possess. I fast. I pray. I'm not like the tax collector over there." And the tax collector can do nothing but stand at a distance and beat his breast and say, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." He confessed his sin. He acknowledged it before God. David confessed his sin when confronted by the law. This woman confesses her sin, but she also confesses her faith in Christ. Jesus says to Simon, "Hey, I've got something to tell you." And Simon says, "Well, speak on, teachers." So Jesus tells a brief parable. There was a certain moneylender who had two debtors. One owed him 500 days worth of salary, the other 50 days worth of salary. Neither one of them could pay, so he graciously canceled the debt of both of them. Now, Simon, which one of these do you think would love him more? Well, the answer is obvious. It would be obvious even to an atheist, and Simon reluctantly said, "Well, I suppose it was the one for whom he canceled the larger debt." Jesus said, "You got it. You have judged rightly. That is true." And then he turns the focus off of Simon to this woman who was a notorious sinner. Not to condemn her, but to show her as an example of contrition and repentance and the faith that receives the forgiveness of sins. Do you see this woman, Simon? Do you really see her as she is? Can you only see her as a sinner, as one who deserves to be judged by God and condemned? Or can you see her as one like you, although her sins are not your sins? Do you see her? Take note of her, and take note of yourself. When I entered your house, you didn't give me water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't give me a kiss of greeting when I came into your house, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You didn't anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, Simon, her many sins are forgiven, for she loved much. Now, let's understand this. This doesn't mean that she loved Jesus so much he decided to forgive her sins. No, the forgiveness she had received, the great forgiveness that she had received freely from the Lord, is what motivated, what gave birth to her love for Jesus. He who is forgiven little loves little, but the one who is forgiven terrible, heinous, awful, gross sins loves much. Just as St. Paul did, who declared himself the chief of sinners because he persecuted the church of Christ. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We aren't talking about just King David and just about the sinful woman. We're talking about you and me. We too are sinners. We might not like to think of ourselves in those terms, but it's true, we are. God's law diagnoses that, and the thing to do is to confess with God's law, "Yeah, I have sinned. I deserve to die." But the thing also to do is to confess Christ more boldly still. "I have a Savior. I have one who was sacrificed on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. I was under the curse of the law, but Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for me. For just as the scripture says, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree." You and I are sinners. We cannot save ourselves by being good. Our goodness is just a veneer over a seething cesspool of sin and iniquity. Our goodness is pitiful. Just a grain of filth compared to the righteous standards of a holy God set forth in His holy law. So if you're trying to be saved by your goodness, forget it. Ain't going to happen. If you're trying to be saved by being a good citizen of this country, it ain't going to happen. You cannot be good enough. I cannot be good enough. And as Paul says, a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. We also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified, to be declared righteous by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified. And if you or I rely on the works of the law to be saved, we are under a curse, Scripture says. Because it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. On and on and on. It's not just talking about the outward act, but what takes place inside the heart. All who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. There's another sinner in today's gospel reading, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. What? Jesus a sinner? Yeah. Christ became sin for you so that in Him you might become the righteousness of God. He was under the curse of God's law because He became filthy as though He had dived headfirst into a cesspool of sin. He became filthy with sin. He took all of our sin upon Himself, the sin of the whole world. It was as though He was cursed because He had not kept the law. But in becoming a sinner, if you will, for our sake, Christ Jesus graciously redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For as I quoted earlier, as it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, the tree of the cross, where Jesus, the Lamb of God, offered Himself up as the once and only sacrifice for the sins of the world. So what was said to David by the prophet Nathan is said to you as well. God has put away your iniquity. What Jesus said to the sinful woman in Simon's house at Simon's dinner is true for you as well. Your sins are forgiven. And who is this who even forgives sins? It is our Lord Jesus Christ. The mighty God come down from heaven for you and me. The mighty God who took upon Himself the likeness of our sinful nature, so that by His life of righteousness and by His holy death and resurrection, He might make possible, make a reality, the forgiveness of all of our sins. Your sins are forgiven. And this Jesus invites you today to come to the banquet of forgiveness, where no one is going to cast judgment upon you and saying, hey, look at her, she's taking Holy Communion, she must be a sinner. Of course she's a sinner. Of course I'm a sinner. Of course you are sinners. That's why we come. Jesus sinners doth receive. And thanks be to God for that. So your faith has saved you. Faith in the righteous one, faith in the holy one, faith in the crucified one, the resurrected one, faith in the one who is present for you today, in his body and blood. Your sins are forgiven, taken away completely by this Jesus, God's Son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.